Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Commissioners to Mull Silver Bullet Virus Treatment by Caitlin Randall, CRANDLE at MRT.com. The Midland County Commissioners Court on Monday will hear a presentation from the Odessa doctor who claims to have found a silver bullet in the fight against coronavirus. The opportunity to speak during Commissioners Court will give Dr. Richard Bartlett, a family physician in Odessa, a platform to present his findings, according to County Judge Terry Johnson. Bartlett has touted an inhaled form of budesonide, a steroid often used to treat asthma, as a cure for the virus in several interviews with the news media. Commissioner Randy Prude said he asked Bartlett to give a presentation during the meeting because he wants information about Bartlett's treatment to be widely available. "I frankly believe the sting of the pandemic would be over if we all had access to his protocols," Prude said. He said he hopes doctors and other medical professionals will listen into the court session and consider using Bartlett's treatment. Officials with Midland Memorial Hospital have said they will not use the treatment because there is no evidence suggesting it would benefit patients with cases severe enough to require hospitalization. Chief Medical Officer Dr. Larry Wilson has also cautioned the community about accepting anecdotal evidence as proof of effectiveness, saying if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Prude said he does not agree with the hospital's decision to not use budesonide. When asked if he was concerned that having Bartlett give a presentation might be viewed as going against hospital officials, he said, "I really don't care when someone's life is at stake." Additionally, on Monday, the Commissioner's Court will discuss raises for elected officials, according to an agenda packet. Some elected officials requested an 8% raise during the last court session to match the raise previously given to other county employees. However, Johnson said several commissioners have already indicated they do not intend to approve any salary increases during the economic downturn. Monday's meeting will be held over video conference because of the pandemic and will be live streamed on Midland County's YouTube channel beginning at 9 a.m.
Obituaries. Donald Aday. Donald J. Aday, a prominent Eugene, Oregon actor, passed away on July 8th at the age of 72 due to cancer. He was the loving husband of Diana Aday. He will be greatly missed by his family, friends, and the theater community at large. Don was born in Midland, Texas on December 28, 1947. He moved to Eugene in September of 1969, where he pursued a freelance graphic design career and became active in local theater. He performed with the New Mime Circus beginning in the late 1970s and sang chorus roles with Eugene Opera in the 1980s. In 1982, during rehearsals for La Boheme, the first opera performed in the Holt Center, Don met his future wife, Diana, and they continued performing together in multiple venues throughout his life. Their last co-starring turn was as an eccentric New York couple in Neil Simon's 45 Seconds from Broadway at the Very Little Theater in Eugene in October of 2017. Don was a frequent performer on the VLT stage over four decades and was a mainstay of Fred Kraft's Radio Redux for eight seasons. Don was known locally for his voice work, and he and Diana often appeared together in TV commercials and industrial films. Don enjoyed playing golf with family and friends and was an accomplished easel painter. Don is survived by his wife, Diana, his stepdaughter, Liz Aday, stepchildren, Stephen, David, Glendon, five grandchildren, four great-grandchildren, and his brother and sister-in-law, Ron and Mary Aday, his sister, Patricia Moreno, his brother and sister-in-law, James and Linda Aday. At this time, no memorial service is planned due to the current health risk. In lieu of flowers, please donate to the Very Little Theater or Hearts for Hospice in the name of Donald Aday. Dr. David E. Daniel. Former Midland College president, Dr. David E. Daniel, a good and faithful servant of God, died peacefully on July 23, 2020. Dr. Daniel will be lying in state Monday, July 27, 2020, at Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland for friends and colleagues to be able to pay respects before he is taken back home to Gaffney, South Carolina, to be laid to rest in Corinth Cemetery. David Daniel was born on September 13, 1936, to Helen Hill Daniel and Joseph Essen Daniel in Gaffney, South Carolina. On February 22, 1958, he married the love of his life, his soulmate, and his amazing wife of 62 years, Dee Dee Blanton, who he fell in love with while watching her play the French horn in the Gaffney High School Band. One child, Joseph Jody, was born of this marriage. David proudly served his country in the United States Army, where he attained the rank of second lieutenant. David was also an ordained Methodist minister and a member of the North Carolina Conference of the United Methodist Church. Dr. Daniel worked hard to achieve a BA degree from Furman University, a MDIV degree from Colgate Rochester Divinity School, and his Ed.D. in Community College Education from North Carolina State University. He began his career in North Carolina as a pastor at Zebulon Baptist Church, a professor of sociology and New Testament, and eventually the administrative vice president at Louisburg College, Louisburg, North Carolina. Daniel later served as dean of instruction at Isothermal Community College in Spindale, as well as adjunct associate professor at Appalachian State University in Boone. In 1997, Dr. Daniel was named president of Wilkes Community College in Wilkesboro, North Carolina. During that time, 1977 through 1989, he also served as the president of the North Carolina Community College Foundation, the president of the North Carolina Association of Public Community College Presidents, and as president of the Southern Association of Community and Junior Colleges. Afterward, he served 2 years as executive director of the Pennsylvania Commission on Community Colleges and the Pennsylvania Federation of Community College Trustees. Daniel was already known nationally for being an activist and staunch advocate for community colleges when he and Dee Dee moved to Midland in 1991 to focus his efforts in turning Midland College into the college he aspired it to be. During this time, Daniel served as chair of the American Association of Community Colleges and as president of the Texas Association of Community Colleges. David retired from Midland College in 2008 as the third president after serving for 17 years. Dr. Daniel was named a transformational leader in community colleges and was selected by the U.S. Department of Education for a Fulbright Award to China. The Boy Scouts of America, Buffalo Trail Council, chose him to receive their Distinguished Citizen Award in 2005. The Association of Community College Trustees named Daniel as the Outstanding Chief Executive Officer in 2005. And the Permian Basin chapter of the Association of Fundraising Professionals chose him as the Fundraiser of the Year in 2001. David lived life fully and always had a mischievous twinkle in his eye. He had a passionate love of music and played alto, soprano, and tenor saxophones. David was a drum major of both the Gaffney High School Band and Furman University Band. As a young man working his way through college, he played in dance bands and charmed his audiences as a disc jockey for several South Carolina radio stations in Gaffney, Greenville, and Chester. When introducing himself, he would frequently say, "Hello, I'm Randolph Scott." David loved Cherry Bounce and a spotless college campus. He led by example, frequently bending over to pick up pieces of trash that had blown onto the beautiful campus, and he expected the rest of the Midland College family to do the same. On Sunday mornings, prior to attending church services, he would walk the campus retrieving trash. David is survived by his loving wife, Dee Dee, his granddaughters, Christina Daniel Ahart, Tabitha Daniel Boyce, and Victoria Daniel, great-grandchildren Michaela Ahart, Joseph Ahart, Rylan Boyce, and McKinley Daniel Boyce. His brother-in-law, Ray Sizemore, also survives him. David is preceded in death by his parents, his beloved son Joseph, and his sister, Melissa Daniel Sizemore. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that donations be made to the charity of your choice in Dr. David Daniel's name. Local arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Edward P. Sanchez. Edward P. Sanchez, a retired resident of Midland, Texas, passed away on July 23, 2020, at the age of 72. Eddie is survived by his wife, Yolanda Calderon Sanchez, his children, Edward Calderon Sanchez Jr., Kimberly Sanchez Gonzalez, grandson Josiah Emilio Gonzalez, brother Victor Sanchez Sr., and sisters Josie Rangel and Catherine Saldivar. He is predeceased by his parents, Victor Sanchez Sr. and Dolores Emma Sanchez, brothers Robert Sanchez, Benjamin Sanchez, and lovable pet pork chop Chompies. Eddie was born in Carlsbad, New Mexico on January 22, 1948. He graduated from Kermit High School in 1968. He was the owner of Ed's Carpet Service and head maintenance for the Housing Authority of Midland. On October 26, 1968, he married Yolanda, his high school sweetheart. On September 14, 1970 and January 26, 1978, respectively, he welcomed his son and daughter, who were the most important part of his life. Eddie was a devoted father and avid bow fisher. He enjoyed antique cars and hunting in Redford. He served his country in the Army, 19th Engineer Battalion Division. He also enjoyed hanging out in the garage tinkering with homemade projects. A funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m. on Saturday, August 1st, 2020, at St. Anne's Catholic Church. Monsignor Larry Droll will officiate. Funeral arrangements are under the direction of Avalo Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Death notices. Donna Bolden. Donna Bolden, 70, of Midland, passed away July 22, 2020. Memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, August 1, 2020, at Grace Lutheran Church in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Harriet Whitting. Harriet Whitting, 96, of Midland, passed away on Friday, July 24, 2020. A memorial service will be held at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, July 29, 2020, at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Kyle Cervise. Kyle Cervise, 30, of Odessa, passed away July 21, 2020, in Odessa, Texas. Kyle was born on June 4, 1990, to Tanya and Billy Voorhees in Odessa, Texas. A visitation will be held on Tuesday, July 28, from 5 to 7 p.m., at American Heritage Funeral Home in Midland. A funeral will be held on Wednesday, July 29, at 11 a.m., at American Heritage Funeral Home. Arrangements by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, July 26th, 2020. Section A. Trump in Odessa. President brings re-election fundraiser to West Texas. By Bob Campbell. Giving President Trump a close-up view of the energy industry and persuading him of its national and worldwide significance will be the main goal of the hosts of his private fundraising event Wednesday. The event is expected to be a luncheon held at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center downtown at 305 East 5th. But the agenda will be broader than that, with coping with the COVID-19 pandemic and making a presidential visit to an undisclosed drilling site also on tap. An organizer who has worked on the event for months, oilman Kirk Edwards, said it will show the importance of independent oil and gas producers as compared to the major oil companies. Crediting Salisbury Industries founder Dick Salisbury and Executive Vice President Bubba Salisbury, Edwards said, "It's extremely important for the president to come out here and see on the ground what's happening in West Texas, the people of our industry who live it on a day-to-day basis in the oil and gas and service businesses. There is a lot of pride associated with his coming here because it is a once-in-a-lifetime event for most everybody in this town." Edwards said the populace is proud of President Trump for what he has done, helping with OPEC when the Saudis were flooding all the oil into the U.S. We want to tell him the mission is not over because we have a lot of problems right now, and we want to educate him and his administration on what those are, he said. We're headed in the right direction, but there is still more work ahead of us. UTPB history professor Derek Katzum said the trip will be valuable to Trump, not only to raise money for his re-election campaign against presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden, but also to draw distinctions between Biden and him. It will be a way for the president to explicitly and implicitly to point up their differences on energy policy, and particularly his connections to oil and gas, Katzum said. He will say, I'm one of you, firing up any support that may have slackened, and say, I'm for drilling and getting new oil, and he is for the Green New Deal. Around here, that means something. Noting the prices of participation are $2,500 for lunch, $50,000 for a couple's photo with Trump, and $100,000 to take part in a roundtable discussion with him, Katzum said he will run through his greatest hits and get off some snappy insults. Will it be historically momentous? Not unless he introduces a policy or something happens here, but for a kid who sees him, yes. Planning to attend the fundraiser, 11th District Republican congressional nominee August Pfluger of San Angelo said it signals the president's commitment to our oil and gas industry, which is extremely important to the economy and national security. Endorsed by Trump in the March 3rd primary that he won without a runoff over 9 opponents, Pfluger said the visit will signal to the rest of the country how important the industry is. Just over the past few years, we've gotten to the point where we are the number one exporter of oil and gas in the entire world, he said. If the Permian Basin were a country, we'd be number three on OPEC's list. We're an instrument of power because we are not beholden to the Middle East, and we can do things without fear of reprisal, like the president's drone strike on Iranian Revolutionary Guard General Qasem Soleimani last December 27th. I'm looking forward to thanking him for his endorsement, the former Air Force fighter pilot said. This is an extremely challenging time, and he is doing everything he possibly can to fight against the pandemic that wasn't started in this country. That was the responsibility of the Chinese government, and we will find out more of those facts during the coming weeks. He is trying to keep the country safe and keep the economy open against a movement that is mischaracterizing his leadership. Ector County Democratic Chairman Hannah Horick said it is in poor taste for Trump to come and charge people $2,500 to have lunch with him and $100,000 to sit at a table with him when so many people in Texas and our community are hurting because of the coronavirus and the challenges of the economy. I hope the president and the folks traveling with him and the people hosting him have the public health and safety in mind during this trip, Horick said. The president doesn't have a great track record with mask wearing and setting an example of good public health practices. It would be valuable if he came in and set a good example of how to keep people safe when you have to be in a group. Asked if she thought Biden would win November 3rd, she said, the polls have us feeling optimistic, but we are certainly not taking anything for granted. We'll continue to put in the work because you never want to believe an election will happen without a whole lot of work. Even though this country is represented mostly by Republicans, Odessa is not a one-party city. There are folks here and across the state for Biden. Ector County Republican Chairman Tisha Crowe said Bubba Salisbury was the prime mover in securing the event, largely because he is a close friend of Donald Trump Jr. and is the number three Republican bundler, or key fundraiser, in the nation. Adding that she didn't know how much the younger Salisbury had raised, Crowe said Bubba has been on the phone either with the White House or someone in the Trump family multiple times each week. He and Junior have gotten close. Vice President Pence was here in April 2019 for a private fundraiser in a draped hangar by the Commemorative Air Force, and he was amazed to see all those rigs and pump jacks. I anticipate we'll hear the president talk about the coronavirus. He'll hear that oil and gas is not a simple business. It's intricate, risky, and speculative. And most people from other parts of the country don't understand everything that can go wrong and what it means to have a well go dry. U.S. Representative Mike Conaway, Republican Midland, said through a Washington spokeswoman that Trump's visit affirms that his administration understands how critical the Permian Basin is to fueling a strong American economy. In the face of two countries whose actions attempted to drown out the Permian, I am fully supportive of the leadership and swift action he has taken to defend our region in the global market, increase our nation's energy independence, and unleash American energy dominance, Conaway said. President Trump is always welcome in West Texas. His visit will be encouraging to our community and send a strong signal to nefarious foreign actors. State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, said, "It is obviously a huge event to have a sitting president visit Odessa and the Permian Basin." "There is a reason for our entire community to be excited," Landgraf said. "There are also some practical benefits to the president's visit. He gets to see roads and so many aspects of life and work here. Anytime we can get leaders in positions like his to witness the basin firsthand, it's a benefit to all of us." A number of people have worked diligently for quite some time to make this event a reality. Bubba Salisbury, Kirk Edwards, and Ector County Republican Women's Club President Sherry Hurt deserve a great deal of credit, and I express my gratitude to them. New commissioner, eager to start. Gardner looks to bring water to West Odessa. By Bob Campbell. 5 months before he will be sworn into office next January 1st, Ector County Precinct 1 Commissioner-elect Mike Gardner is eager to begin his four-year term, particularly to help curb illegal dumping and bring better water supplies to West Odessa. Referring to his late father, Freddie, who served in the same post for 18 years, Gardner said, "I always think about the things Dad faced when he took over, and one of the big deals I heard him talk about was water. He did a lot to get water grants, and now we have the dumping problem, which we will attack pretty quickly. The water issues are still out there, and hopefully we'll be able to help further the Ector County Utility District system." Having defeated incumbent Eddie Shelton in a July 14th runoff by 593 votes to 436, Gardner said he will also support Sheriff Mike Griffiths and the Sheriff's Office. Gardner will join Judge Debbie Hayes, hold over Commissioners Greg Simmons in Precinct 2 and Armando Rodriguez in Precinct 4, and newcomer Don Stringer, who won the Precinct 3 Republican primary race over Jeff Russell to succeed the retiring Dale Childers. There were no Democrats in the contests. Gardner said one of the ECUD's primary goals in the big unincorporated area west of town, where an estimated 50 to 70,000 people live, is to lay new water lines and supply more homes. He said going $100 million into debt to build a new courthouse is apparently not a high priority in the voters' minds and therefore not a pressing issue for him. Gardner is a 59-year-old Odessa native who will keep his job as operations manager for Canary LLC Service Company, doing most of his county work in the mornings, he said. He was a city councilman from 2014 to 18. "The new courthouse will be something for the people to decide," Gardner said. "With COVID-19 going on, I'm hearing no public outcry for it. The one we have is old and takes a little upkeep, but it helped tremendously when we moved the federal prisoners out of the third floor. With Precinct 1 covering 500 square miles of Ector County's total 900, Gardner said he will be as accessible as possible to his constituents and was eager to have his cell phone number, 432-556-2332, published. We have a lot of challenges in West Odessa, going from Interstate 20 to Highway 302 and all the way out to 866, he said. There are a lot of unpaved roads and people are scattered everywhere. A lot of them like to get away from the hustle and bustle. Gardner said the county's enforcement of its illegal dumping regulations is proving effective, and he wants to offer citizens an affordable, conveniently located recycling station so they have a place that's not difficult to get in and out of, where they can go and dump things. I'd like to see the county partner with a company that would take care of it, he said. I think 90% of the people would do that. We need to get them involved in taking care of their areas and cleaning up around their places and in front of their houses. There are too many illegal septic tanks and too many houses tied onto one system. Some people are just digging a hole and running wastewater into it. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. 20 grandchildren and 13 great-grandchildren. Graveside services will be held at 10 a.m. Monday, July 27th at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. Clarence C.B. Barton Choate, Jr. C.B. Choate, Jr., 76, of Odessa, passed away July 19th. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, July 31st, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home with Pastor Byron McWilliams of First Baptist Church officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. C.B. was born in El Paso to Clarence Sr. and Mary Choate, July 26, 1943. He married Kathy Lee Neves in Odessa in 1973. He is preceded in death by his parents, Clarence and Mary, brother Thomas A. Choate, and sister Alice Mahurin. He is survived by his wife of 51 years, Kathy, son Jimmy Shane Choate, and partner Billy Waldron of Houston, daughter Stacy Choate Espinosa and her husband Christopher of Odessa, two grandsons, and two great-grandchildren. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Melvin Coy Goodgame. Melvin Coy Goodgame of Flower Mound passed away July 17th at the age of 92. He was born in Buck Creek, March 21st, 1928. He was preceded by his parents, four brothers, and six sisters, and is survived by his wife Joyce, three daughters, Kathy Anderson and husband Jerry, Colleen Pruitt and husband Madison, and Allison Tucker and spouse Pam. He is also survived by five grandchildren and six great-grandchildren. He is also survived by many nieces and nephews and great-nieces and nephews all over the country and several in Canada. Private graveside services for the family were held at Sunset Memorial Gardens, officiated by Byron McWilliams. In lieu of flowers, family requests donations to First Baptist Church Missions. Ina Gartman. Ina Gartman, 80, of Big Spring, passed away July 21st in Odessa. Funeral services will be held at 1 p.m. Tuesday, July 28th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home Chapel, with Terry McMahon officiating. Interment will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Ina was born May 29th, 1940. She is survived by a sister, Yvonne Strouth of McKinney, her son, Weldon Gartman, and his wife, Deborah of Big Spring, daughter, Karen Drawn, and husband, Bill of Rockwall, 4 grandchildren, 4 great-grandchildren, and numerous nieces and nephews. Ina is preceded in death by her parents, Vernie and Jewel Smethers, 5 brothers, and 3 sisters. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send family condolences, please sign her guestbook at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death notices. Guadalupe Flores. Guadalupe Flores, 61, of Hobbs, died Tuesday, July 21st. A funeral service is scheduled for 4 p.m. July 29th at American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory. Terry Von Henson. Terry Von Henson, 53, of Odessa, died Thursday, July 23rd. A funeral service is scheduled for 11 a.m. Tuesday, July 28th at First United Pentecostal Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Kyle Service. Kyle Service, 30, of Odessa, died Tuesday, July 21st. A funeral service is scheduled for 11 a.m. July 29th at American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory. Stephen B. Sisson. Stephen B. Sisson, 31, of Stanton, died Sunday, July 19th in Midland. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Jackie Louise Tacker. Jackie Louise Tacker, 73, of Odessa, died Thursday, April 23rd. A memorial service is scheduled for 10 a.m. July 30th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home, with Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell officiating. Karen Jean Hazard Travis. Karen Jean Hazard Travis, 57, of Odessa, died Wednesday, July 22nd. A graveside service is scheduled for 11 a.m. Wednesday, July 29th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Monday, July 27th, 2020. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Midland Coronavirus Deaths Surpass Annual Flu Deaths, by Caitlin Randall. Midland's COVID-19 deaths over the last 4 months have now surpassed annual deaths from the flu, according to data provided by the CDC National Center for Health Statistics. There were 28 deaths in Midland County caused by influenza complications in 2018, the most recent year data is available. The Midland Health Department reported the county's 28th coronavirus death on July 18th. Last week, the deaths of 7 more residents were confirmed, bringing the total number of deaths to 35. In July alone, the Health Department has reported 20 coronavirus deaths. If that trend continues, there could be well over 100 deaths from the virus by the end of the year, which would make COVID-19 the third leading cause of death in Midland, just behind heart disease and cancer. If there are no additional COVID-19 deaths in 2020, it would still be the eighth leading cause of death if Midland's mortality rates align with previous years. There's a distinction, though, in which ages are more likely to die from COVID-19 than the flu, according to Dr. Larry Wilson, Middle Memorial Hospital's chief medical officer. Wilson said adolescents younger than 20 appear to be less likely to die from coronavirus than the flu, while those over 60 are by far at greatest risk of dying from COVID-19 than influenza. In between is gray, he said, adding that those from 20 to 60 years old are at increasingly greater risk the older they are. Precautions taken during the coronavirus pandemic, such as wearing masks and social distancing, have brought speculation about whether these practices will continue during future virus and flu outbreaks after the pandemic ends. A deep dive of research studies during the coronavirus outbreak has led to new information about preventing and fighting viruses, Wilson said. He said those studies suggest wearing masks and socially distancing will decrease the spread of any airborne infection. I will certainly behave differently in the post-COVID pandemic world, he said. Midland coronavirus deaths have also surpassed annual deaths from sepsis, diabetes, and liver disease, according to the CDC data. This article is entitled "School Name Change Would Start with Committee" by Stuart Doreen. The Midland ISD Board will not only vote tonight on whether to change the name of Robert E. Lee High School and Robert E. Lee Freshman School, but there is an agenda item that calls for the approval of a citizens' committee to recommend a new school name. Should the Board vote to rename the two schools, it is then required to approve new names. The meeting agenda item documents indicate that the regulations of the district allow for the creation of a citizens' committee that shall include a central office administrator as a chairperson, one Midland ISD principal, two MISD teachers, and at least one individual from each school board district. Superintendent Orlando Riddick recommends that this committee, if it is required, has two chairpersons, one administrator, and one community member. He also is calling for the board to appoint two at-large members to the committee and that each school board member appoint two committee members from their district. The entire board will approve the members of the Citizens Committee in a special meeting that shall be scheduled no later than August 7th, according to the board agenda packet. All members of the Citizens Committee, including those from each school district, must have an existing or prior connection to Robert E. Lee Senior High or Robert E. Lee Freshman. An agenda packet document states, the principal of Robert E. Lee Senior High shall appoint two senior Lee High senior students that are willing and able to serve on the Citizens Committee. Names to be considered should fall within at least one of the following categories according to the district: presidents, statespersons and persons of national fame, governors, statespersons and persons of Texas fame, national, state, and local educators, community and civic leaders, national, state, and local symbols or events. The Citizens Committee will meet to discuss the submitted name and make at least one and no more than three recommendations to the superintendent. The superintendent will then present those recommendations to the board for final approval no later than October 19th, agenda packet documents state. Some members of the community have talked about costs as being a reason that the high school name should not change. Agenda packet document states there will be costs associated with the board's approval of a new school name at a later date, and that the financial impact on the district will be disclosed prior to any board vote to approve a new school name. Last week, in the East Texas city of Tyler, the school board there voted to change the name of two high schools, including a Robert E. Lee High School. The Tyler ISD board president estimated the total cost to change the names at other schools to be around $330,000, according to a report from television station KLTV. These costs include athletic uniforms and branding or signage that includes the school's names, according to the report. This article is entitled "Conservatives: Policies Make Trump More Than Binary Choice" by Stuart Doreen. U.S. Representative Mike Conaway of Midland talked in 2016 about the binary choice that conservatives in West Texas faced when it came to the race between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. If Republicans remained fractured like 2008 and 2012, it would have provided an opportunity for Clinton, he said. Conaway wasn't saying that some needed to hold their nose while casting a ballot, but was offering a reminder that a non-conventional Republican was better for America than another Clinton in the White House. 4 years later, President Donald Trump comes to Midland, Odessa, with a resume that some local conservatives said is in line with the interests of West Texans. Ernie Angelo, a former National Republican committee man, told the report of Telegram last week that Trump's accomplishments within months remaining in the first term include being the most pro-life president we have had, a president who stands up for freedom of religion, a collection of judicial appointments that is as good as you can get, and a record on deregulation that has been tremendous. I don't think he could have done more to promote the philosophy that I would like to see promoted, said Angelo, a current board member with the Texas Public Policy Foundation. It is enough for some people to look over his record on spending, the growth of the national debt under his watch, and the attention he received for his use of Twitter. The tweets don't amount to much when you get down to what is important, Angelo said. Don Sparks has been happy with Trump's performance abroad, including confronting China. Sparks also cited the work Trump did on replacing NAFTA with the USMCA trade deal. Sparks said his worry heading into November's presidential election isn't about what Trump is doing, but about a media that is friendly to Democratic Party candidate Joe Biden. Sparks expects the media to challenge both presidential candidates, but said that hadn't been the case. Kirk Edwards of Odessa said there is such a stark difference in the policies of the Trump administration and the Democratic Party's Green New Deal policies. We had such a hard time during the Obama administration, just with the Endangered Species Act, Edwards said. Left-wing environmentalists tried to shut down drilling, which we were able to overcome at a cost of millions of dollars. When it comes to support for Trump, conservatives in West Texas had few rivals, and the voters in Midland County came out for the president. When looking at the 30 counties with the largest populations in the state, only Johnson County, immediately south of Fort Worth, had a larger percentage of voters back Trump in 2016, 77.5% to 75.7% in Midland County. Whether it is because of accomplishment or the binary choice Conaway spoke of 4 years ago, there aren't many reasons why that support in Midland County should go down, conservatives said. I have a real hard time for people that are still never Trump, Angelo said. I don't know what they want. This article is entitled Trump Set to Collect Campaign Cash in Midland, Odessa by Stuart Doreen. A presidential candidate is coming to Midland, Odessa. Well, it's the president who will be campaigning in the Petroplex. President Donald Trump will not be the first member of his administration to come to the Permian Basin. Vice President Mike Pence came to Midland for a fundraiser in April 2019. The president won't even be the first member of his family to touch down in the region. His son Eric and Eric's wife Lara have been to Midland and ducked into Midland County Republican Women's Luncheon during that October 2017 visit. Trump is coming to Odessa to raise funds for his presidential campaign. That doesn't exactly put him in rare territory. Just this century, Midland has been a place to welcome Republicans running for president. Midlanders' backing of their native son, President George W. Bush, included lots of Midland dollars. After Bush's time was done, other presidential candidates, including Mike Huckabee and Rudolph Giuliani, headed to Midland in 2008. The party's nominee that year, John McCain, had planned to come to Midland for a fundraiser, but he backed out at the last moment because of the fundraiser's connection to Clayton Williams and the media's dredging up Williams' comments made two decades earlier in his gubernatorial campaign against Ann Richards. In 2012, candidates again made an appearance in Midland, including nominee Mitt Romney, who attended a fundraiser at the Petroleum Club of Midland. Reports after the event indicated that he collected more than $3 million during his trip to Midland. In 2016, Republicans coming to Midland didn't include the eventual nominee and President Donald J. Trump, but did include former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, Huckabee, Senator Marco Rubio, former Texas Governor Rick Perry, and U.S. Senator Ted Cruz. Trump's scheduled appearance in Odessa, a Permian Basin special event with Donald J. Trump, President of the United States, according to the invitation from the Trump-Pence Victory Committee, includes a roundtable event which costs attendees $100,000 each. There is a meet and greet with a photo opportunity at a cost of $50,000 a couple. The day also includes a $2,800 a plate luncheon. Reports have indicated as many as 400 people have responded for the luncheon. Republican stalwarts Ernie Angelo, Don Sparks, and Kirk Edwards told the Reporter-Telegram they didn't have a problem with candidates coming to the area for a political payday. Edwards, an Odessan, said the Permian Basin is not on the beaten path for those in Washington, D.C., and the exposure a fundraiser can provide is a benefit for the region and the oil industry. Angelo, a former National Republican committee man, said there are times candidates can wear us out, but he still sees Midland's position as a destination city for politicians is a good thing. The more you can elect, the better it is, Angelo said. Midland is definitely on the radar. While Trump's visit is a headline event, there are plenty who come to Midland under the radar. After all, Midlanders' willingness to donate, typically to Republicans, is well documented. In 2010, a Hearst study showed Midland giving the most money in political donations per capita. That was true of the 2008 presidential cycle, when Midland County residents on average gave more than twice the next closest county, Travis County. Sparks told the Reporter-Telegram about efforts made to bring in senators such as Tim Scott of South Carolina and Tom Cotton of Arkansas. He said it is in the best interest of those in the region that elected officials are informed about what is going on in one of the world's largest oil basins. They learn about the Endangered Species Act and regulations that can hinder operations and therefore energy independence. It is impressive what we do out here, Sparks said. I haven't seen a single one yet who has turned on us after coming out here.
Hello, this is Michael reading further Odessa American Stories. OPD make arrest in Sunday shooting. Odessa police have made an arrest in connection to an early morning shooting Sunday in southwest Odessa. Isaiah Elias Lara, 21, has been charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony, after Odessa police responded at 3:58 a.m. to a disturbance at the Woodcrest Apartments and made contact with a 32-year-old male who had sustained a gunshot wound to the face and was transported to the hospital with life-threatening injuries. Officers later were in contact with a 19-year-old female who reported she had been assaulted by her boyfriend, identified as Lara. The officers learned that after a disturbance between Lara and his girlfriend, he assaulted her by kicking her in the face and head repeatedly. The 32-year-old male witnessed the assault and attempted to intervene and was shot by Lara in the face. Lara fled the scene, but was later located in a residence on East 25th Street. Odessa Police Department detectives obtained a warrant for Lara, who was charged and arrested and transported to Ector County Law Enforcement Center. More charges are pending as the investigation continues. OPD asking for help identifying auto burglary suspect. On July 6th, at approximately 8:10 a.m., Odessa police responded to 2794 South Highway 385, Elite Supply Partners, in reference to an auto burglary. Investigation revealed that an unknown male subject burglarized several vehicles, an OPD news release detailed. Surveillance photos can be seen at tinyurl.com/y4jf4bm5. Anyone who recognizes the suspect or suspect vehicle is encouraged to contact Detective Jay Campbell at 432-335-3328. Or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS and reference case number 20-0011853. Third COVID death. An 81-year-old female died Sunday afternoon from COVID-19-related complications at Medical Center Hospital. An MCH press release detailed that the woman had pre-existing conditions, was from Odessa, and had been admitted to the hospital from home on July 5th. MCH is reporting this as the 31st COVID-19-related death of an MCH patient. MCH reported as of Sunday that 47 COVID-19 patients are in the hospital, 13 patients are in the critical care unit, and 6 of them are on ventilators. 34 patients are on the 7th and 8th COVID-19 isolation floors. No patients are reportedly in the CCU overflow unit. Death notices for Monday, July 27th. Talmadge B. Lay, Jr. Talmadge B. Lay, Jr., 77, of Midland, died Friday, July 17th in Midland. Memorial service is scheduled for 1 p.m. July 27th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Chapel. Ordained minister Nathan Plagens is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Doris Ruth Roddy Lindley. Doris Ruth Roddy Lindley, 87, of Lubbock, died Saturday, July 25th in Lubbock. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. July 30th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Chapel. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Alfred Vardaman is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Joseph Meog. Joseph Meog, 45, of Odessa, died Thursday, July 23rd. Graveside service is scheduled for 2 p.m. Wednesday, July 29th at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Irene Vasquez. Irene Vasquez, 92, of Odessa, died Friday, July 24th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10:30 a.m. Tuesday, July 28th at Acres West 24-Hour Funeral Chapel. Graveside service will follow at 1 p.m. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Column from the Odessa American. Stress test is the first choice. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach, Saturday, July 25th, 2020. Dear Dr. Roach, my primary care doctor prescribed a cardiac calcium test after seeing me breathing hard while climbing onto the examining table. I don't feel a need for it, as I am over 72 years old and it is common in this age. I checked with another doctor and asked, what if you have higher cardiac calcium, as I am already taking atorvastatin and enalapril. Since then, I have been avoiding the test. What is your advice? Answer. Shortness of breath with exercise is indeed common, but when people have difficulty breathing with pretty minimal exertion, I would be concerned that there is a problem. Blockages in the blood vessels to the heart muscle, coronary artery disease, is one common and treatable cause of breathing problems with exertion, and high cholesterol and high blood pressure are risk factors for coronary artery disease. I think a test to determine whether you have CAD is reasonable. However, the coronary calcium score wouldn't be my first choice. A coronary calcium score looks for calcium deposits in the blood vessels to the heart, and high levels do make COD more likely. Since a coronary calcium score doesn't provide information about whether and how big those blockages might be, a stress test would be my first choice, followed by a definitive anatomical test, like a coronary angiogram, if abnormal. If there are blockages and you have symptoms despite medical therapy, your cardiologist would consider treating those blockages with a coronary stent. If the blockages were severe and in the left main coronary artery, cardiac surgery would be indicated. The coronary calcium score is best used for higher risk asymptomatic people, especially when trying to get more evidence to weigh the risks and benefits of medical treatment.
This is Kay. Reading the Odessa American for Sunday, July 26th, 2020, etc. Man pumps brakes on taking friendship to a higher level. Dear Abby, last year I met a special man when I hired him to do some work related to my hobby. We easily fell into a friendship and have grown very close. We currently spend all our free time together. We talk every day on the phone, sometimes for hours. We are both divorced with children. He was married for 17 years and hasn't been in a relationship since. About a month ago, I kissed him. While he did kiss me back, hesitantly, that was as far as he let it go. He said he, quote, doesn't want to ruin what we have and isn't sure if it's the right thing, end quote. I was embarrassed and hurt, but we carried on like nothing had happened. He is 16 years older, and I know he finds me attractive. He has told me I am beautiful, among other compliments, and we've had a few very long hugs. I desire a physical connection with him, but I wish I didn't. Lately, when we are together, I can't stop thinking about it. He obviously knows how I feel, but I'm afraid of pushing the issue. I feel like maybe I should stop seeing him. I would miss him a lot, like losing my best friend, but I'm compromising my own needs by letting him string me along, or whatever it is he is doing. I know he would be hurt, too, if we broke up. I don't know what to do. It feels like I am going to lose either way. Can't win in California. Dear Can't Win, it is time for a non-threatening adult conversation with this man about why he hasn't had a romantic relationship since his divorce and doesn't appear interested in one now. You mentioned that he is older. It's possible that he has performance issues and may not be able to give you anything more than long hugs. However, if it's something more, he should level with you. This doesn't mean you are going to lose either way. There are worse things than having a compatible man in your life as a best friend, but not if you are being scorched by the torch you're carrying for him. Dear Abby, I have been reading your advice since I was quite young. I recently ended a toxic relationship and have you to thank for helping me move forward. I'm on my own now for the first time, which has been interesting to experience during our COVID crisis. It has made me realize who is truly important in my life. I am reaching out to people from my past who are positive influences and trying to cultivate and nurture relationships. I am also reflecting on my personal issues that need working on while I detoxify. I know this is crucial before I even consider possibly bonding with a new man. Thank you for your voice of reason and great advice, even when it has been difficult to accept the truth in it. Appreciative in New Hampshire. Dear Appreciative, thank you for your sweet letter, and congratulations for finding the courage to end a relationship that was toxic. Not everyone is strong enough to do that, so they tolerate their misery for years. I'm glad reading my column helped you and gave you insight. You are wise to give yourself time rather than rush into any new relationships, particularly now. Many people feel especially vulnerable because they are unaccustomed to being isolated, as we have been for the last few months. I applaud you for turning it into a positive, a period of reflection and growth. Dear Abby, write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Leo and a moon in Libra until 12:12 a.m. when the moon enters Scorpio. Happy birthday for Monday, July 27, 2020. Orderly and highly physical, you succeed very well, but can need more emotional outlets in private. This year, you have to wait until you triumph with your project. But it does happen. If single, you need to be honest about the type of person you want to be involved with. Only then will you find your mate. If attached, you are in bliss, usually with a hardy brood. Taurus stabilizes you. Aries, March 21 through April 19, 2 stars. This is a day to steer clear of argumentative situations. Adopt a live-and-let-live approach with those who don't share your viewpoints. Confrontations can drain your energy and end in a moot point. Tonight, relax and kick back as only you know how. Taurus, April 20 through May 20, 4 stars. Today favors expressing original ideas. Liberty will be a priority. You realize how an important relationship has matured and feel a sense of gratitude for the support a partnership has brought. Tonight, have a slow dancing party for two. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 4 stars. Today favors learning more about your wellness. Set a positive example and offer worthwhile suggestions. Rethink your dietary and exercise habits. It is an ideal time to make needed changes. Tonight, consult with an old mentor who you trust and seriously talk about this. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 5 stars. Creative projects can be revamped. An old love is rekindled. But for good or ill, the same patterns repeat in a relationship. A child can be a source of pride and delight. Tonight, go on a date with the one you love the most. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 3 stars. There are some old projects to review before you are ready to move forward. The force of habits, both positive and negative, will be at work. As the day goes on, the pace picks up, and you feel more motivated. Tonight, return calls first. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 3 stars. Today finds you making short journeys and exchanging ideas. Travel, multitasking, and examining new information affect the status quo. A bit of restlessness spurs you on. Creative craft projects can bring joy. Tonight, catch up with a sibling or an old neighbor. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. Today brings opportunities to add to your income. It will be quite exciting. Hone your work skills to enhance your success and financial prospects. Shop for an item you have longed for. Tonight, celebrate as only a beauty-loving Libra can. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 5 stars. Intense and purposeful, you seek ever deeper insight into meaningful matters. Today brings lightness. Relationships stabilize. Pleasure and business combine gracefully. Pathways open to make life more comfortable and beautiful in many ways. Tonight, go where you've always longed to go. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 4 stars. Today finds you more introspective. There is a strong focus on enhancing your public image and good name. A daydream brings insight. An affinity for ecology and an attraction to remote wilderness areas may arise. Tonight, start a journal of your greatest traits. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 4 stars. Today widens the scope of your goals. It is a good time to become more active within a worthwhile organization. Your circle of friends grows. This can encourage you to discard a situation you have outgrown. Tonight, consult with a trustworthy mentor. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 2 stars. Today has a solemn quality. You feel dedicated to high-profile projects that are a challenge, but also have the potential to bring greater rewards. You will long for greater success and status. Fulfill promises and responsibilities. Tonight, take off and relax. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 5 stars. Today brings enjoyment of learning experiences, particularly those involving philosophy or foreign languages. An in-law or grandchild brightens your mood further. A broader and more expansive outlook develops. Tonight, plan a future exploration on a vacation you will soon be able to take. Born today, producer Norman Lear, 1922. Choreographer Pina Bausch, 1940. Comedian Maya Rudolph, 1972.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.